There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the EPL Roundtable. My name is Seifu. I'll be your host tonight, standing in for Kevin. As always, you can find us on Twitter at EPL Roundtable or email us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. Joining me tonight is Jay. He's the editor for the Eagles Beak, and you can find him on Twitter at the Eagles Beak. And we're going to talk about all things England. It's nice to have you on, Jay.
Hello, Seifu. How you doing? Yeah, very, really pleased to be back on. It's always good fun being on the EPL Roundtable. So it's different not having Kev around.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be back in a couple of weeks, and I won't have to do this, and I'll just be the man behind the curtain again.
Or he might not have a job to come back to.
England's made it to the World Cup semi-final for the first time in 28 years. How's the atmosphere in England this year compared to previous World Cups?
Wow. It's incredible. Yeah. I was counting up earlier on today, actually. This is my 10th World Cup. I remember the 82 World Cup was my first World Cup as a kid.
Oh, wow.
That was my first memory of a World Cup. And I have to say, there's been a lot of chatter about whether, you know, which is the best World Cup. And I firmly believe this is probably the best World Cup I've experienced over, you know, being my 10th one, you know, in memory.
Yeah.
Whether that has anything to do with England, you know, going deep into the competition, perhaps. But just going back to your point, really, I think I did an article actually a couple of days ago just really touching on the fact that the World Cup this year was a real slow burner in this country. And that has a lot to do with the disappointment that we've experienced as fans of England for so long. And I think there's a bit of apathy towards the international team. There's so much on social media over the last few years about club over country. You know, fans of clubs much prefer going to watch their club and support their club rather than the national team. Mm-hmm. And there's been a real negative vibe about the international team for such a long time. It kind of stems back a little bit after Euro 96, after Terry Venables, we went with foreign coaches. And there seemed to have been a kind of, fans have found themselves distanced from the international team. And through whatever reason, you know, that's kind of happened. And we've gone into this World Cup. And even the local stores and international stores in this country weren't really on the bandwagon leading up to this World Cup. And, you know, as a football fan, I love a tournament. As an ex-fan, well, whether your country is expected to do anything or whether it's not, it's the whole razzmatazz of a competition, and the World Cup is just a pinnacle of football, really. It's a competition you look forward to as a fan and certainly as a player or coach or anything like that, whether or not, like I say, your country is expected to do well. But to be honest, you know, this group of players and this manager have really brought the country together. You know, they've done well in the competition, of course. You know, they've got through the group stages, and we found ourselves in our first semi-finals, you mentioned, for the first time in 28 years. And I remember the 1990 semi-final against West Germany in Turin. I remember it really well, when obviously we didn't get through that. We got knocked out in penalties, and that still hurts to this day. But to actually see this group of players, it's refreshing to see a young group of players and how Gareth Southgate has gone about his business in exactly the right way. You know, even some of the paper reports before the competition were negative about certain players, and even that couldn't kind of put some of the fans off. But yeah, it's been, like I say, it's been a slow burner. You know, after the first game, you know, England fans were like, yeah, we've got to win, you know, one in the group stage, and we didn't get anything out of the last World Cup. We know, we finished bottom of the group with, I think it's 1 point, didn't get a win. Obviously, winning our first game here was really good. Winning our second game, like we did with an influx of goals, was fantastic. And obviously, the big game in the last group game against Belgium was massive. A lot of consternation about whether Southgate did the right thing in resting players, but you know, you have to look at it, and I'm not saying It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you don't expect a team to go out and lose a game, and there was no suggestion that England went out to lose that game. But as things have worked out, this competition has opened up for us, you know, and not just for us. It's, you know, for the teams in this side of the draw that we found ourselves in. But we're in a semi-final. The mood of the country yesterday, 3 o'clock kickoff, you know, the anticipation was there. But it was really bizarre. You know, we beat Sweden and there wasn't really any concern in the game. You know, we watched an England team, I wouldn't say dominate the game, but actually do a job on Sweden to the point where actually not many of us were that concerned about what Sweden could do.
Not a lot of
as
sweaty
the game
palms.
Went on. Yeah, there was no particular stressful moments. You know, there's always going to be nerves watching England at a World Cup, and it was a quarter final. I mean, that's just massive for any nation. But you know, to watch us get through that game like we did, and get to the final whistle and think, you know, we've actually done that without too much of a problem, which is probably deserved after the tough round of 16 game against Colombia and going into extra time penalties. But to see England, I mean, we're not used to that. We're not used to England come through a game with relative ease, I would say. And that's not being big-headed at all. I mean, I think we got through that game with relative ease. I mean, Sweden had their chances. Jordan Pickford made a couple of great saves. But really, Sweden just huffed and puffed more than anything. And I think it was a really accomplished performance. And to see us into a semi-final stage at this stage at a World Cup, it was fantastic. And I think all the right things are being said about Gareth Southgate, and you know, deserves all the plaudits that go his way, as well as the players. You know, we're actually on the brink of something massive here. You know, this is the third time we've ever got to a semi-final of a World Cup. And I think a lot of us this morning or today in this country are pinching ourselves after yesterday.
Yeah. So you know, let's dig into that Sweden match a little bit. What was your kind of mindset going into that match?
I think my mindset was very similar to a few other people I've spoken to, in that I wasn't hugely concerned about Sweden. Hmm. And again, that's no disrespect to Sweden. I think it was a good game for us to play, because it was against the Swedish side, a European side, rather than a South American side. Kind of a Premier League game in a way, because of the way that Sweden played. You know, they're a big side. They were quite direct, and they played a pressing game. So I think a lot of the players in the England team would have preferred to go up against that sort of opponent than they would have done against a kind of a South American side or a team from Asia, because sometimes you don't quite know what you're going to go up against, however much preparation the manager and coaching staff do to kind of put you in that good position, so that you do know a little bit about the opposition. But I think knowing about the Swedes and the way they played, and seeing them in the European qualification, I mean, they did fantastically well to get to the World Cup, you know, beating Italy of all people, you know, stopping Italy getting to the World Cup finals. So this is the first World Cup I've known without an Italian side in it, which, you know, I'll say was a shame. But as it's turned out, you know, two big names didn't make it in Holland and Italy, and some of the big names have kind of dropped out as we've gone along the way. But yeah, the Sweden game, I think it played into our hands a little bit. I think Sterling was fantastic. He used his pace. He hasn't had any luck this World Cup, Raheem Sterling. I think he's been criticised an awful lot for not scoring goals, but I think he does. I know he does an awful lot more than people see him do. I know he's a quick player, skillful player, and while he's not scored, I think he's a pivotal part of this England side, and he really did rattle that Swedish back line on a number of occasions. They're not particularly quick; they're quite tall and clumpy as a unit. But I think the biggest thing was that we couldn't go behind to a team like Sweden, because they've won narrow games and they're a tough side to break down. So going behind to a team like that was always going to be difficult. But, you know, we deservedly took the lead, got that crucial second goal through Dele Alli, who, you know, a lot of concerns about him with his injury. But I think he had a bit of a spring in his step after that goal, and that goal would do him a lot of good. And it'll be great to see Raheem Sterling get a goal, because it'll do the very same for him. But let's not take away, you know, what Raheem does to this side. You know, he really does stretch the defence and plays off Kane really well, allows Kane to, you know, to sit back a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was really impressed with the approach that we had in this game. We kind of bided our time for the first 20 minutes, you know, just to see what Sweden would do. And then we started playing our own natural game, which is what we've seen in the competition so far. And we got through the game with, like I say, relative ease, which is something I find uncomfortable saying about England, really, because it's not something we've experienced. You would say that of a German side, or of perhaps a Brazilian side, or an Argentina side in previous World Cups, but certainly not England. So it was a pleasure to enjoy that game yesterday.
Yeah. So would you say at this point that like Southgate has put in a cohesive system for the England squad? So regardless of whether or not Raheem Sterling gets the goal, there's still a great team performance.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think everyone's got their job. He's got them well drilled. They know what they're doing. They know the formations that they play and can play, because, you know, this three at the back system is something which has really worked for England. You know, the way that they've gone about it, you know, Kyle Walker playing as one of those three is not a position he's used to. He's normally just a flat right back, but Stones and Maguire have done brilliantly well alongside him. And I think, you know, they are a well-drilled side. Southgate and his coaching staff do their homework. It's interesting to see an interview with Jordan Pickford after, I can't remember if it was a Sweden game or the game before, but he said that, you know, meticulous preparation they have about, particularly, I think it's a Colombian game, the penalty takers, and he knew which way those players would generally favour taking their penalties. And you would expect that from an international team generally, but I think, you know, there's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes than we think. And, you know, these players seem to know an awful lot about their opponents going into a game, which probably leads to why, you know, it was a slow build-up in a Sweden game yesterday, just to kind of, you know, feel their way through through that game. But I think, yeah, there's a lot that can be said about, you know, the information that players get these days about the opposition, and that can be used in games to their advantage. And I think that helps the players a lot going into a game, particularly at the World Cup stages. I know I was hearing that they're quite meticulous about penalty taking and the mental attitude towards being in that whole penalty taking mode, you know, in front of a large crowd, the end of a game, and end of 120 minutes of football. A bit of psychology into that as well, which I find really fascinating. They've gone into that great detail to kind of look at that.
Yeah, Southgate mentioned like the players, the process and things like that.
Trying to put. I mean, obviously, it's something really extremely difficult and almost impossible to replicate that scenario. But obviously, trying to get the mindset there that, you know, to put yourself in that scenario before you actually have to be there. It could well have been the case that we wouldn't have had to have a penalty shootout at this World Cup. As it turned out, we have had to. And I think the players, you know, did very well with it and looked like they were prepared for it.
Yeah. So you mentioned Raheem Sterling, and I think I was going to ask, you know, where you fell on the spectrum of him having a great match and a horrible one. And it sounds like you think he had a great match. Why do you think people looked at his performance and thought that it was as poor as I think some of the media would have you believe?
Didn't get a goal, did he? I think a lot of players are rated on how many they score. Or, you know, he had a couple of great chances to score, but I think, you know, he's a lot more than that to this team, and he's not a big goal scorer. We know that from from his club football as well. I can't remember how many he scored for City last season, but I think, you know, he is that talent in the team. You know, we don't play with wingers. Yeah, you know, he is that talented player that can unlock a defence, and he's got that pace to really frighten a back line like he did against Sweden. I think he's an easy target for the media, particularly, and obviously we all know in build-up to the tournament that he was heavily picked on. I mean, he's a player that's been picked on by the media an awful lot, not just before this tournament, even previous years, before signing for City. Or when he signed for City, I think he was. There was a story of him, you know, being somebody that's moved for the money and that kind of thing. And it's from one thing to another. You know, he's worn a tracksuit from one of the cheaper stores in the high street than you know what you'd expect him to. It's really silly stuff to pick a player up on different things. And obviously, before this tournament, there was all the furor about a tattoo that he's had done. And the media in this country are just exceptional at trying to knock people down. It's crazy how they do that. And there was a lot of I have to say, there was a lot of football fan backlash on social media about some of the stories that he in particular faced before this World Cup. And, you know, a lot of the fans kind of, you know, made comments toward journalists and things like that about, you know, why are you saying that for a World Cup? Why are you trying to, you know, disrupt the preparations and kind of take a player's mind off it? But I think he's had a great World Cup. He hasn't scored a goal. That's what he generally people judge him on, scoring goals. But he's not a striker. You know, he is playing up alongside Kane, I admit, but I think he's been a pivotal part of every game we've played so far. He's been criticised for not, but again, I think he's just not scoring a goal when he's had the opportunities, and he's gone through on goal. He had two against Sweden. I just think he's a likeable character, and you know, he works hard. There's a question mark about whether the media actually or some fans actually think that he works hard, but you watch him play during a game against Sweden yesterday, and yeah, he did an awful lot of running in that game. He, you know, he chased things down. He worked really hard for the team. I think that's a real strength for this team, is that all the players know their jobs, know their strengths and know their weaknesses, so they can help each other out in different areas. But I feel people are being really harsh on Sterling. I think he's been one of our better performers for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned Harry Kane, so I looked up the stats. He was only able to register one shot for the full 90 minutes. Why do you think he had such a quiet game?
I think a lot of the game he was dropping a bit deeper. I think he saw that Sterling was a bit more advanced because of his pace, and you know, Kane was up against a big, solid back line in, you know, in the Swedes, and I think that was a tougher battle perhaps than he's had in this World Cup, which is why we saw him dropping a little bit deeper to pick up the ball, and why Raheem found himself, you know, in space, you know, behind, you know, the back line, which kind of, you know, worked as the game went on. I think Harry had a great game again. I think he worked the line well. He worked as defenders well. I think what he does do very well is take the pressure off the rest of the team by drawing the foul. He did it a lot when we were 1-0 up, and more so when we were 2-0 up. He was protecting the ball, holding the ball well, and it's something you need from from your main striker. And obviously, we are playing with one striker up front. I don't count Sterling as a striker. He's kind of playing off the front man as such in Kane, but I think Kane's doing the perfect job for us. I mean, I think before the game yesterday, he had six goals in with after six attempts, which is a fantastic return, particularly in the World Cup. And I think from memory, I think he's still leading the goal scoring charts. So hopefully we can see him, you know, get a goal or two as, you know, before the competition finishes. But yeah, I think Kane again, like Sterling, is a pivotal part of the side. He can be that target man, which is what we did a little bit more in that game yesterday as well against the Swedes. Used him probably as the first time in this competition as more of a target man rather than on the floor, because of the way the Swedish guys play their football. And it worked for the most part. And obviously, you know, putting Sterling in through because, you know, with his pace, you know, just frightened the life out of that back line. And I think it worked more, you know, rather than focusing on Kane like we have done in previous games. I think it worked better by us focusing more on Sterling, giving Sterling more of the ball, because of the way that the Swedes play and how big their back line are.
Yeah. So you've got a lot of deserved praise for this squad. Were there any players that disappointed you?
If people have heard me on previous pods, I'm not a negative kind of guy. And I mean,
right,
it's an England, it's an England side that's got to the semi-finals of the World Cup. How can I pick somebody out that's been? do you know what? It's really difficult. I probably would have said that Dele Alli has been disappointing. Because of, we know what he's capable of, but that goal yesterday, you know, getting that second goal was hugely important in this game. It was vital for us to get that second goal, because that 1-0, you know, the game's there to be taken, really, isn't it? Still from the Swedes, you know, get that goal back. They've got the impetus, you know, against us. So I think that second goal was massive, probably bigger than the first goal, really, in terms of importance, and it really was a knock the confidence of the Swedes. And hopefully that's Dele Alli arriving at this tournament. He has struggled with that thigh. Is it a groin strain or thigh strain? I can't remember which. He's had that injury during this tournament, which is, he looked like he was holding back a little bit in the game yesterday. It took a while to get into the game, but I think as the game progressed, he kind of came into it more so than he has done in the previous games. So I think you could say some players have had quieter games than others, but I think everybody's played their part in this so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gareth Southgate's chosen the same starting lineup for the majority of the games, other than the change he made for the Belgian game. Ashley Young, a lot of people were quite critical of him starting, but I think he's been fantastic in his role. Trippier has been a real surprise for a lot of people. Worked really hard. I think one of the stats yesterday, I think he had one of the most touches in the game yesterday. I think it was 88 touches he had in the game, which says an awful lot. I mean, that's really good for a wing back, particularly. I mean, you expect that from a central midfielder. But yeah, I'm picking out all the good players. It's really difficult to pick somebody that's disappointing. If I'm going to be pushed, I'll say Dele Alli, but I think that's probably more to do with his injury, right, more than anything else. And I think that goal will have done him the world of good. Jordan Henderson, who I've been critical of in the past, not for England, but more so from a Liverpool perspective, he's been fantastic this World Cup. And it was right to take him off when he was, because I think we'd miss him if he got that second booking yesterday. We needed him for the semi-final. He's been pivotal in the midfield. I'm just trying to think of anybody that's been negative. Like John Stones, Harry Maguire, they've been great across the back. Kyle Walker, I think Kyle Walker had a good game again yesterday. It was a bit dodgy against Tunisia. He gave away that penalty. But I think the back line have been very strong. Pickford, obviously, goes without saying, has been great. Made two great saves in that game. No, I would just, if I was pushed, like I say, I'd say Dele Alli. But that's more because of that nagging injury. I think if he hadn't have had that, he probably would have shone a bit sooner, but that goal will probably do him the world good.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Wednesday, you've got the semi-final with Croatia. How are you feeling?
Yeah. Sunday, day after getting to the semi-final, I think today is a bit of elation. I think tomorrow will be a day when you think, actually, it's going to hit home. We're in a semi-final. We've got a favourable draw. Again, no disrespect to Croatia, but we should have been playing the likes of Germany by now at this point, or even in the semi-final. So because of their failings, this is a decent Croatian side. They've got to semi-finals on merit. I think one of the things that works in our favour is that Croatia went through after playing extra time and obviously having penalties against Russia, which also obviously the later game in the day when we played ours. Hopefully that will pay some, they have some tired legs still from that game, because I think I watched that game last night and they were really going at each other in that half an hour of extra time. And there were bodies on the floor when the final whistle went end of extra time. So it wouldn't surprise me if it took some out of them. But obviously, World Cup semi-final, if you can't get up for that and can't shake off a few aches and pains for that, then probably shouldn't be there. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be... Again, I think it's probably a favourable game for us because it's the European side. We know the players we're playing against, the likes of Modric and obviously Lovren in there as well. Obviously, Modric has played in the Premier League before, but obviously is a star on the European stage at the moment for Real Madrid. Lovren we know from playing for Liverpool, of course, and several other players, Perisic in there. We know what they can do. We know what they're capable of. And our players, it'll be a tough battle. It will be a tough battle. I'm concerned because they have plenty of skill about them. They've got a lot about them. Modric will be a real danger because we've seen what he can do in this World Cup, let alone what he's done for Real Madrid. So at the moment, I've not really thought ahead to the game. Thinking about it now, it's you know, it's one game away from the World Cup final.
Yeah.
It's anybody's. I mean, I don't think I'm one of the more positive football fans out there, mm-hmm. as people probably know from, you know, being on the podcast panel before. But even I, you know, there was always a hope that we could get to semi-final, but you've got to have a bit of luck along the way. And I think we've had a bit of luck because of the way that the draws panned out for us. And you know, other teams have done the hard work by knocking out some of the big sides. And it's kind of opened up for us, as I alluded to a little bit earlier on. Playing Croatia in the semi-final, if somebody had said that to England fans, you know, 6 months ago, you know, by the middle of July, you'll be facing Croatia in the World Cup semi-final. I think a lot of fans would have laughed at it, purely because, you know, being suggested that England will reach semi-final, but obviously facing Croatia in a semi-final, it's not a semi-final you'd expect. Again, no disrespect to Croatia. They're there on merit, same as we are. But again, I think it's a favourable game. You know, we're not playing Belgium or France in the other side. You know, we are playing the lower-ranked side, but, you know, they can't be underestimated. We've seen it throughout this World Cup.
Right.
No game is easy at all for any team in mm-hmm. this competition. You know, the big names can testify to that. And we're a big name. You know, we're not one of the top six. We're not even in the top 10 ranked sides in the FIFA rankings. But, you know, we're still a big name in world football. We're in a semi-final of the World Cup. You know, I think we're going to get to the final. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do. I just can't see us not getting to the final now. That might sound arrogant. That might sound self-obsessed a little bit. But I think we're riding a wave at the moment. And this England side look decent. They do look decent. It's a group of players which have no fear. You know, Gareth Southgate has done an awful lot to this side in that. There's one really interesting point he alluded to is that he found when he was playing for England that there was a lot of club clashes, you know, like yeah. United, Liverpool's. And he was keen to avoid that as a manager. If he could, then he would do everything he can to avoid that. And I think he's also managed to rid the squad of some egos. You know, we know that Wayne Rooney was, you know, is not part of the squad anymore. Joe Hart wasn't taken to the World Cup. Jack Wilshere, another one. And just those two, naming those two and their, both of their outbursts on social media probably says an awful lot about why they're not going to the World Cup, or why they weren't going to the World Cup. I think, yes, they're upset, but, you know, keep it to yourselves. You know, it's a decision that Southgate's made, and I think a lot of people thought Hart would go purely as that experienced goalkeeper. But Southgate's, you know, he's managed the young players for the under-21s. Mm-hmm. He was the under-21 manager for, what, 3 years or so? He knows a lot of these players.
And he's had his own World Cup experience, so he wouldn't necessarily need to bring that from a player.
Definitely right. And, you know, he's had experiences on the international scene, so I think he can be praised for, you know, for those different things. You know, he's got his own ethics. He's stuck by his own way of doing things, and it's paid dividends. It really has, much to a lot of fans and the media surprise. You know, we've got ourselves to a semi-final. I say we've got ourselves. Southgate and the players have got themselves to a World Cup semi-final. By
no, sticking. Jay, you're the 12th man.
This is true. Yeah, they've got themselves to this position through hard work, through great preparation. And, you know, people seem to forget that, you know, Southgate took over the role as a kind of last minute after the Sam Allardyce issue. You know, mm-hmm. Sam Allardyce managed for one game, and it obviously came out in the press about, you know, what happened or what meeting he had, and I'm not going to go into that now.
Yeah.
And Southgate was brought in as what was deemed to be a short-term fix, you know, get somebody in, get the qualification, keep that going. And he got us through a seamless qualification. And England do qualify for tournaments really well. It's not often we mess up a qualification, but he took over a side. He added the players he wanted to. He's brought youth into the side. And that is a big thing about England. Compare this side to England squads of the past. They've always gone with the big name players all mm-hmm. the time. And it's always been the case that I remember going back to when we had Gerrard, Lampard, Scholes. they would try and play all three of those players, and they would play Scholes out wide. Paul Scholes was never a wide player, but they would try and fit all the big names, a little bit like France started to do it at the start of the tournament. They were trying to play all their big names in the side, but they just don't fit, even if they're trying to play them. They're just thinking, that, oh, he's a great player. He can play in that position, even if it's not his own position. But that's just crazy. Even if you haven't got as talented a player to play in that position, he knows that position. So why don't you just play the player that fits in that? You know, put that round peg in the round hole, not a square peg in the round hole. Yeah. That's what England have been doing for years, and have tried to stick by the players, the big names, the big clubs and the egos. But a lot of the time fans have said, give youth players a chance. Why try and fit all these players into a squad? And, you know, we've been saying it for years, and now we've got a manager who's actually done that. And, you know, obviously the success of the Young Lions last summer in the Euros, in the Under-20s World Cup, winning that, you know, there's signs, because, you know, Southgate was involved in all that. He was involved in the setup of the Young Lions, and, you know, he's brought some of those players through that he trusts. He knows what they can do. He knows what they're capable of, and they're showing it on the world stage. And while a lot of people have said that this squad isn't the strongest England squad, you can't take anything away from their enthusiasm and what they bring to this World Cup, because I think you've seen them off camera and you see some of the videos online and stuff, and this group of players get on well.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge when it comes to being away from home in a tournament scenario. If you get players that don't get on, that's going to cause a bit of a rift in a squad, as we've seen from some of the bigger nations over the years. So I think that all goes hand in hand, and they just look like they're enjoying it. And, you know, the more they enjoy it, you know, long may that continue.
Yeah. And, I think one of the great things about having that youth mindset is that we get to see a player like Jordan Pickford just put in immense performances on the biggest stage.
Definitely right. And, again, he was a player which he was criticised for the goal against Belgium. For leading with the wrong hand, which, again, I found quite crazy. I mean, it was a great goal by Januzaj to win that game. Mm. Who could argue what's happened to us since then, obviously. But obviously Pickford's made, you know, that was just a great goal. You know, it's difficult to question the keeper on that one. I think that was just picking holes in the performance, really.
And I think everyone's forgotten about that goal at this point.
Completely right. I mean, Pickford is, you know, the penalty save. You know, he made that save at the end of the game against Colombia, which was an outstanding save. I mean, there's no way he knew that was going to be good. Well, it might not have been going over. It may have hit the crossbar, come back. You just don't know. But he made that save, which obviously led to the equaliser. But he made the penalty save as well. He made three great saves, actually, in the game against Sweden. You know, he's more than proved a point after that Belgian game. And I think the majority of fans, you know, weren't even questioning you know, that goal against Belgium, really. So yeah, I mean, he's been fantastic. It's proved why he's been, you know, he's been picked as number one by Southgate. And he's I did say before that, as the penalty shooter came, I fancied Pickford to save one. I really did. It might sound easy to say that now, but I just felt like he would get to one of those penalties. I really did. And he did, thankfully, strong arm. But he's proved more than worthy of the number one jersey. And you know, like you just said, Seyfi, you for exuberance. I mean, you know, it's no fear. You know, he's been in this tournament scenario with the Young Lions, and obviously not to the, you know, not the Senior World Cup, but, you know, it's no different. The setup is the same. The tournament setup is the same. You know, penalty shootouts, it's the same pressures. You know, you're playing 90 minutes, extra time, and then penalties. You know, it's all the very same. So that experience would have helped him out, no doubt.
Is losing to Croatia a failure for this team?
For me, no. I think you could actually. No, I would say no. It wouldn't be a failure, but it would. Does that sound right? Because I think Croatia are beatable. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a side that we would probably, again, I don't want to sound big at it, but it's a side that we would probably expect to beat the way we're playing at the moment. I don't think Croatia were better in the group. They played very well in the group stage. I think they won all three games in the group stage. and going forward out of the groups, they were the team to watch. In the knockout stages, I think they've probably just stumbled through to this point. They weren't that great against Russia, the host nation, but obviously that has its own pressures playing against the host nation. The game before, I forget who they played, but again, it wasn't the greatest of games. It wasn't the greatest performance from them. Modric makes them tick, for sure. He's the guy to watch out for. But would it be a failure for us to... I don't think it would, because nobody expects us to get to semi-finals, but there will be a tinge of sadness simply because we'd miss out on the best opportunity we probably ever had, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because of the way that the draw has kind of pointed us towards a final. I mean, you can never have imagined us getting a favourable draw like that. You know, we haven't got any of the top countries in our side the draw at all until we get to the final. I think Belgium are the highest ranked side left in the competition, ahead of France, and then obviously us, and then Croatia. I will be disappointed if we miss out on making the final, because I think this is a winnable game. Mm-hmm. If we were playing someone like Brazil, Germany, Argentina, France, if we're playing somewhere like that, then it's just, well, it would probably be more, it'd probably be easier to take losing in the semi-final. It'd be hard, but I think losing, you know, because you just don't know against the big sides. But I think a lot of people up against Croatia, they're still a skillful side, mm-hmm. but I think a lot of fans will be thinking, you know, we can beat them, we should beat them. Whether that mindset would have been there if we'd have stumbled through the group or had them in the group, I don't know, but I think fans now have got to a point where, you know, this is a semi-final. This is a winnable game. You know, we've had the luck to get to this stage by not having to face one of the big sides. I think we'll be disappointed. I don't think it'll be a disappointment to go out in the semi-finals, if that makes sense, but it will be disappointing to lose to Croatia, to miss out on the final.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. Yeah, no.
Quite in a roundabout way. I'm like I say, I'm not a negative guy. I will be disappointed if we don't beat them, but getting to semi-final, if somebody has said to any England fan before the World Cup and said, you're going to get to semi-final, but you're going to lose, I think most would have, you know, again, would have laughed, or, you know, just said, don't be silly.
But
would have taken it.
Yeah.
For sure. Would have taken it. But we find ourselves at this point thinking bigger. Really thinking bigger, and you know, this is the third occasion. This doesn't come round in everyone's lifetimes. It really doesn't. So it will be disappointing to lose, for sure. But I think we're in a mindset now where we're actually thinking, you know, we're going to do this.
Yeah, and regardless of what happens, you'll be able to look to the future.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people have said, you know, this is probably a World Cup too soon for this group of players. You can't plan that sort of thing. I remember vividly when Palace were promoted back in 2013. A lot of fans are saying it's too soon to go up. You can't plan these things. You know, you have to grab them with both hands when they come your way, because you can't plan, you know, when a team's going to get promoted or when a country's going to get to the stage in the World Cup. It just happens, and you have to take that opportunity when it arises. And I think we just have to do that. With, you know, the players, I'm comfortable with a set of players that they will leave everything out on the pitch to get to that final. And that's all you can ask from a group of players, particularly this group of players, which have impressed everybody, I think. You know, the thing that I find amazing is that you've got Liverpool fans praising Jordan Pickford, who's the Everton goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You've got Everton fans praising Jordan Henderson for his performances. The football community in this country has been brought together, and there was always before the clash between clubs and saying, oh, you know, Liverpool fans are praising Jesse Lingard because he scored that great goal in the earlier round. That's not really happened before. There's always been that club versus club issue, but this, you know, as the competition's gone on, as the nation has kind of got more interested, and, you know, the players have impressed and you know, they've played really well to get to where they are. you know, everyone's together on this. They really are.
Yeah.
It's just brought a nation together, which is absolutely fantastic. It's a really great feeling here at the moment.
Yeah.
And it will be a real shame to see us not go on and you know, get to the final.
Well, I think that's a great note to end a podcast on, don't you?
I think so as well. I don't know if you've been on Twitter a lot, Seyfu, but there's been a hashtag during the rounds which relates to a track that was released before Euro 96, which was by the Lionesses, Frank Skinner and David Baddiel. It's Coming Home, the Three Lions track it is. I don't know how familiar you are with it. The hashtag is It's Coming Home hashtag, and a lot of other nations fans have been saying how big headed it is and how critical they've been of it, but this comes around every time England play. It's Coming Home, it's always been something a bit tongue-in-cheek with England fans, and you know, that song has that lyric in it, It's Coming Home. It's been revisited a few times, that track has been re-released. And today, it's hit the top of the charts in this country again.
Oh, man.
It's been played so much. The track, I say, was released in '96 before we hosted the Euros. It's a bit of an anthem for England fans. It really is, and it's got a lines in it saying it's coming home. Bit of tongue in cheek, obviously, you know, football star in this country, and this, that, and the other. And every time England are at a tournament, it comes up. You know, fans are saying it's coming home. It's coming home. Yeah. It's a bit of tongue in cheek, really. You know,
but now there's just a bit of optimism that wasn't there before.
Well, yeah. I mean, the hashtag has gone mad. There's been videos with the tune being played over famous clips from TV series and films, and you have to see them to believe them. And it's really added to the really, you know, good vibes in this country at the moment. But you know, it's that saying it's coming home isn't a cockiness. It's always been tongue in cheek, but we find ourselves now seeing England in the semi-finals of the World Cup. We just don't know what to do because we've been saying it's coming home and it's always been tongue-in-cheek. But now we've got to a point where actually it might be coming home. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and it's, a lot of people have been critical about it if you're not an England fan. And I just wanted to clear up and say that, you know, it's always been a lot of tongue-in-cheek. It's always been a bit of fun. But now we've got to this point, we're thinking, wow, you know, we've always had a bit of a laugh about this, but it's just got serious.
Yeah. Well, great. So that's all the time we have for today. Jay, do you have anything you want to plug?
Just the website, the Eagles Beak. We're a Palace fan site. Been going for a number of years. We're heading into our sixth season as a Premier League side, which is a record for Palace, and it's going to be fantastic. Really looking forward to it. So head on over to the website. Eaglesbeak.com is where we have our stuff. It's been a bit quiet over the summer because we've had a bit of a break, but obviously we've had a few England articles going up, and we do chat to opposition fans during the season as well. So head on over. We're really active on Twitter and Facebook, so head on over to our page on Twitter, which is at the Eagles Beak, and just get in touch, interact. We look forward to hearing from you.
Great. That's the end of the podcast. Thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure as always, and we hope you keep listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.